What's up, everybody? It is your girl Lane with At Talking Tunes Podcast. Listen, you're watching. If you haven't subscribed yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Like, subscribe, share this video, tell somebody else about it, because we're here. We're here for you. And speaking of being here, I got my brother and my co-host with me. None other than super producer, Mr. King Logan. What's up, bro?
What's happening? Listen, let me tell you something. I don't know that I like that term, super producer.
But I what see you as super producer.
Well, hold on.
Are we going to argue about this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're finna argue real
quick. Okay, what do you want me to call you?
No, I'm just asking. What makes a producer a super producer?
I think you're super.
We'll come back. No. No. See?
I'm just playing.
Y'all look. She always trying to be, I think you're so super. See, ain't no.
No, that is not how I said that.
All right.
That is not how I said that.
Let me introduce somebody who will argue with me.
And we will come back to this because you're not going to like move on from this and mess up my introduction of you. Thank you.
And I am. Ladies and gentlemen.
Whatever.
At this time, I want to introduce some people call him Money Montez. Some people call him John Tez. Like I said before, his mama call him her son.
Call him son. I can't.
Yo, y'all give it up. With John Tez, man. What's happening with you, playboy?
What's up, man? But my mama calls me her son. She's called me a lot of things. And her son is one of them.
You know? I bet you was a bad kid. Was you a bad kid?
I was a bad kid, man. I was a good kid. But
bad. What, man?
What? Yeah.
Cause you know, I look nice. I look like, you know, I'm not gonna move too much, but yeah.
So what does that mean? You're not going to move
scenario.
Too much.
You put me in the wrong scenario. And
as a kid, John, as a kid, what do you think that you can remember? What's the baddest thing you did as a kid that make you say, I was a bad kid?
Okay. Ooh. Now, keep in mind, before I tell you the story, this is heavy. This is a heavy one. And I don't condone it.
Oh, God.
And
oh, Jesus.
You'll understand what I mean when I say this. When I was a kid, my cousin used to live with us. She's like an older sister to me. Sylvia, Sylvia, you know who you are. So
shout out to Sylvia.
Shout out to Sylvia. So we got in some kind of scuffle, and she took a belt and swung it and hit me on the face with the belt buckle.
Oh.
So I got pissed. And I went and got the gun. I loaded it and I like pointed it at her.
Hold on, bro. Wait a minute. Hold on.
And that's why I said I don't condone it.
This intro just got a little longer. Hold on.
I'm here for it, though.
Wait a minute.
That happened.
Yeah. John, and your anger was that bad where you went and got the gun.
Wow. Yes.
You loaded the shotgun. A shotgun.
It was a
shotgun. Wait a minute. A shotgun?
Because he's country. That's why.
But I'm saying, though, couldn't you have got the small gun? You was finna kill her.
No. Yeah, I know. I was.
What do you mean,
that
a BB gun? How about that?
A BB gun. No, it was a shotgun.
Wait a minute.
And then all my siblings got between me and her, and then I started chasing them around the house with it. Yes. So I'm running with the loaded gun pointed at them, pissed and screaming because why did you just hit me? And then one of them got out, called my grandma. My grandma got on the phone, and rest in peace, grandma. She just, the one that just passed away.
Yeah.
But she got on the phone, and she starts going off on me. Well, what do I think I'm doing? She's going to tell my mom and dad, put the gun up. And I listened, and I put the gun up, and I chilled out. So that's one of the worst things that I've done.
Yeah, I can't even top that.
You just took all the icing.
Yeah, I'm cool.
But it's
on
that,
that
it's
one,
that
brother.
Latino fire, you know?
Don't blame it on the Latino.
Yeah.
No, that
don't
is
blame
not.
It on the Latino. I can't do that.
Yeah, no, don't do that because that's crazy.
Why can't?
It is very crazy.
I understand you were mad, but for a gun, come on.
Yeah.
Really? Thank
I've
God y'all are still here.
Stuff like that.
Okay. Well, Lane, real quick. What's the baddest thing you ever did as a kid? She ain't did nothing. She
man, when you asked that question, I was like, I know I've done a lot of bad stuff. Yeah. But mine, I don't think mine
y'all,
on top
see,
is.
Y'all be fooled by the smile.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Okay.
We look innocent. Yeah,
okay,
we look
so
innocent, but we're not.
Okay, let me say this because, see, I feel like we about to argue. We about to August. You and have got to stop. Stop. You have got to stop painting this picture to people that, see, Lane does bad things. Yes, I am human. What do you expect? So don't tell me I can't call you super producer.
Right.
And then don't,
just wanna...
don't right. try to cut me off. You're going to let me finish making my
Proceed.
Statement.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
Anyways, so to answer your question.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
I made one of my sisters eat dog food one time.
That's bad.
I did.
Yeah, that's some big sister shit right there. Because my sister used to do some terrible stuff to me, like for real.
I don't know why.
That's
I
terrible.
Did that, but
that's terrible.
That is terrible. Mm. Forgive me.
Yeah. Yo, y'all was some bad.
What about
kids,
you?
For real.
And we don't condone that either. We don't condone eating dog food.
Not,
we don't condone
do not eat.
Pulling guns out on nobody.
The way dogs are eating these days.
Right.
Y'all ask me.
Okay.
Y'all ask me. Let me tell you
something. Yeah,
what is
yours?
The worst thing?
I was too scared, man. My mama's name was Queen.
Yep.
My mama stood 5'11", flat foot, man. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't playing with me. Boy, say, I didn't start doing stuff till I left my mama's house.
Really?
That was by 16 years old. That's when I turned up. I was like,
you just let it all out.
Let's go.
Let it all out.
Yeah, ain't no way.
16 years of pent up badness.
I'm finna let it go. And boy, when I say I started letting stuff loose.
Oh, golly. You said pent up badness.
So then you do have a worst thing you've done. What was one of the worst things you've done? Not when you were a kid, and then when you were after 16. I know you got stuff.
What? We were talking about kids. That not
he said, I'm out. The statute of limitations is out.
I don't know the statute of limitations, man. I don't know what's happening.
It's hilarious.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Some stuff.
You're not going to tell it?
We're waiting.
You can make us
Boy,
tell
no.
our business.
Y'all think I'm playing. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, man, listen. We want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode. That's Lane.
That's, so wrong.
That's John Tez. We got Max in the back, and I'm King. And like we always say about this time, welcome to the show. Yeah, so look, we still laughing because they think they're going to get me to tell on myself.
Did you really just do that to
us? I was an adult when I... Huh?
Did you really just do that
to us?
You
never let us get away with not answering a question like that.
Well,
come on.
Because I asked y'all as a kid. I said as a kid.
Okay,
y'all trying
so why
to ask
we extend...
I know you did something at 17.
Teenager.
I know you did something at 17. Adult. That is still a kid.
There you go.
So,
but I was doing grown folk stuff at 17, homeboy.
Oh, Lord.
I promise you that. When old girl got a hold of me, she was 36. I was 16. It was up ever since then.
Yeah, this is probably why he was delaying the response. This right here is
And then that's when the world opened up to me. And then it was like, okay, I can do this. I can do that. And I just started doing all types of stuff. And yeah.
Yes.
So, you know,
regulators.
Mount up.
All right. All right. So, yeah. So, welcome. Y'all are here.
Listen,
so,
man. She don't know what to say. She's talking about blah, 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 blah.
I know exactly what to say. I'm like, we got to get up out of here. You know what? I'm going to switch gears for a minute. I have a feeling that this is probably going to linger later and probably some upcoming episodes. But anyway, you know what? We are in playoff season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how about them Cowboys?
Oh, come on now. Don't do this to me.
I am a fan. Like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean?
Cowboys.
Don't do this to me.
The Cowboys.
Three times. Click your
Are they going? So I didn't watch the game. I haven't kept up. Sorry. So catch me up.
I'm just cheering for them.
Hold on.
Are they in the playoffs?
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. How dare you embarrass yourself
by asking that question? I really don't know because I'm always working.
Listen,
I'm constantly working.
You're from Dallas.
Yes,
when
but
the last
I don't
time
live
the Cowboys
in
were in playoffs?
I don't live in Dallas.
I think I started something.
When the last time the Cowboys been in Dallas, man? I mean, not Dallas. When the last time the Cowboys been in playoffs? 30 years. 28 years.
It's been a while.
96.
It's been a while.
My goodness.
So they're not in the playoffs?
For whatever reason, we just can't.
Was it 96 or 98?
The Cowboys is like Big Luther's curl. Big Luther curl quite didn't curl up. He had an S curl. He still had an afro with a curl on the top. Just couldn't get it together. Ends. Cowboys' new name should be Can't Get Right.
I'm appalled.
Are you a
Cowboys fan, King? Are you a Cowboys
fan? I am a ride or die Cowboys fan, but it's like you're in an abusive relationship.
Yeah. Please, I saw you put
no
that
disrespect
on social media
to anybody who's been through that, and I'm not trying to make light of that situation or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like the Cowboys get your hopes up and they let you down.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the year. And I'm for real. The funniest thing I seen where they put that crying filter on Jerry Jones.
On Jerry Jones. Oh my God.
The most hilarious thing. Listen, let me tell you something. This internet is undefeated.
Legendary.
Some of the memes and oh man, it's so amazing.
Did you see the cologne one?
I posted it.
Oh God, that was rough.
Man, I didn't see that.
Oh, just go look at it later, John.
All I'm saying is the Cowboys. I think it'll be another on the serious note. Might be another 5-10 years before they even see a second round of a playoff. Because mark my word, watch this team start splitting up.
Okay.
Watch. They're going to be sick of Mike McCarthy. He got 3 years in a row you get us to, we can't get past the first round. How do you not prepare for the playoffs? I'm trying to keep the language good. Y'all got the entire kicked out of y'all. Excuse my language, people. But they did. Yeah. They got beat down. Like, you came in like you just didn't want to play. And the weirdest thing for me is to watch how Dak and CeeDee Lamb wasn't on the same page. And for, you never see a head coach go over to a player and talk and try to calm him down. Mm. To see Mike McCarthy go over there and whatever he said to CeeDee Lamb, you know, I got my own theories, but I be thinking weird stuff. So I be like, maybe they trying to blow this so they can get something in the draft or, you know, get a higher space in the draft, just playing, you know. But enough is enough already. Come on, bro. Like, come on. Like, somebody going, I promise you. You ever seen that movie with Chris Rock? He was running for senator or something like that. And Bernie Mac was in it. And Bernie Mac got off that train and just started slapping people. Cause how you doing? That needs to happen to the Cowboys fan next year. The moment somebody said, we going to, no, this the year. Like, come on, man. So, enough already, bro.
Let me ask you this question.
I'm a bit turned up by that.
No, don't apologize because the reason I said that is because I didn't watch the game.
My glasses straight.
But let me see.
Am I true?
I think they're straight.
Yeah, they're
straight.
Ladies and gentlemen, commercial break for the straightening of King Logan's shades.
Behind the scenes.
Come on, let's go, man. Y'all
behind the scenes. Makeup? All right. So, I missed that, by the way. But I was on Facebook and, okay, this is a real question. Like, we're fans, right? Like, we're not haters, but we are also realistic, right? And I hear you when you say, like, the first person that says, oh, we're going to the bout, you know.
Yeah.
So I see people, though, fighting. I see families, like, disowning each other. I see real hate, like, real hate towards people for supporting their team. But don't you expect for people to support their team? Like, whoever you want to see win?
Well, who are you supposed to support?
Here's what I will say. If it's legit hate like that, That person don't like you, period. They don't like you.
This ain't football. This is something else.
This ain't got nothing to do with football. Because at the end of the day, it's football, man.
Right.
They don't pay not one of your bills. Now, unless you done, and you still can't hate on your family member or whoever, somebody else, because that's your team. Because at the end of the day, cause like just because you bet and you lost, that's what happens. That's why it's called gambling.
Yep. You pick up.
You gamble. You lost. It is what it is. But I'm sick of the Cowboys. I'm so sick of them.
Wow.
So you could be sick of
them. Here's the thing. Are you sick of them, but are you sick in your belief and
your
them.
Expectation of the team.
Because the Cowboys are going to keep cowboying. This is what they do.
The Cowboys are going to keep cowboying.
You know? That's what they do. Crazy. So are you really more upset at the fact that you keep believing in them?
Ooh.
No. That ain't deep. Oh. My, ooh. That is not deep.
He had to think for a minute. No, you had to think for a minute.
I did not have to think. Am I? I was looking, listening to that question. Like, I'm sure I heard him right. No, if they good, they good. I don't really believe in them like that. Real talk, it's like I like football, so I watch football.
So you're a football fan.
I'm a football fan.
So you're a football fan.
But
football
if I got a team, I'm gonna go for my Cowboys. Yeah. Huh.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah. If I got a team, I'm gonna go for the Cowboys because that's. You know what I'm saying? That's just Zimmy, silver and blue, through and through. You know what I'm talking about?
So would you say that you're a fan of the Cowboys then? Or you just support them because they're your team?
I support them because they're my team because, you know.
I got you. Okay.
Fan is the root word to fanatic, and I'm not fanatical about the Cowboys.
Listen, the fanaticals that was going radical on social media, I was like, this is a game, right? Because some of y'all act like y'all on the payroll.
It's that whole social media vibe that really wears me out. People just feel they can say whatever the hell they want to say on social media.
And well, hell, they can because like it's called freedom of speech.
Oh, no, you can, but you would never say that to that person's face. Not some of the stuff people put on there. You would never say that to somebody's face. Now, some of you would.
Don't you check somebody. Don't you try some of these people.
Right. But for the most part. For the most part, I mean, that's why you have these burner accounts of people that just get up and they just have something to say because they're hiding behind, because they would never say like, that to somebody in person.
I don't know why I feel like this, but John, I think you got a burner account.
I don't. I thought about creating some.
He keep bringing up burner accounts.
No, it's
Wait a minute,
it's,
we
it's,
might need to talk.
You know why I'm bringing it up? Because I hate to say this again. Oh, God. But
say
it's
it.
On the it's on the Housewives of Salt Lake City. It's a big topic right now. Okay, shut up. Leave me alone. Don't you say nothing.
Can you explain the context of how and why is it on that show? Or they
because one of the girls on the show has a burner account and she just got caught and it's in the they're in the and they have a 3-part reunion that I'm really excited to watch.
And which one is this?
The Salt Lake City. Y'all should watch them Salt Lake City.
I'm not watching it. I'm not.
It's, show it's, and watch
it's fire, man. It's wardrobe fire. Change. I think they
makeup.
He said wardrobe
change.
No,
ladies and gentlemen, he's changing his
jeans. Jen Shaw went to jail,
and the
girl that put her in jail is the one that created the burner account. And
Misha,
she came.
Did you just say you saw that?
I did because there was a story. Like she went to federal prison or something like that.
Yeah.
For embezzlement or something like that.
The big story.
But what is the benefit of having a burner account? People do understand that there are IP addresses.
Well, yeah, if you go through
ain't nobody going just regularly go look up somebody's IP address.
Yeah.
Anybody going deep like that. No.
But there's some people that get paid to do that.
Yeah, you can spend money to do that.
Yeah.
But your average person's not going to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't have, to answer your question, I don't have a burner account, but I wouldn't mind getting one, I'll be honest.
But tell me why. You got to why?
Because there's some stuff that I want to say. That if I were to say what I really want to say, I'd probably get like hella canceled. I think in some areas. I'm just
telling
you,
cancel these.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing.
I mean, and it's not even about being canceled. I don't care. I mean, you can't really cancel me, but. I don't know. I just don't want to. I just always don't do it because it's not the right thing to do.
And the conviction.
I just don't do it. Yeah.
Is it? Would you call that your? Okay. Yeah, because people be on there just saying whatever they want to say.
Yeah,
it's just holy rising.
What'd you say?
Let me tell you something.
What?
Let's talk. Let me tell you something.
What?
What I do? You said people do be on there saying anything, and it's cool. But sometimes you got to hit back. You just gonna keep letting these people hit you? You gonna get your lick back?
No. I guess the comments that I would want to make is stuff that's not even about me. Like they're not even commenting on my stuff. I just see them commenting on other people or like saying stuff to other people or just being assholes, like honestly. And that's when I want to chime in, is to maybe defend somebody or say something like that. It has nothing to do with me typically. So I'm just like, I don't know either party. Let me just stay out of it.
Superman complex?
Man, I'm sitting here like,
I think I do. I think
online
I do
vigilante guy.
You say you think you do have a Superman complex?
I think I do. Yeah. I'm the oldest of five. It's always been my job to fix the problem.
That's
the way I think.
Yeah,
I do. And I'm
so you're a fixer.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you don't like to fix it until it's done.
Yeah. And I get bothered when it's something I can fix and I don't fix it. Oh my God, it drives me nuts.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Hold on.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just asking because I think that's an interesting place because people who try to fix it all the time, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they go above and beyond, but just stop.
For no reason. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you do it, and then you didn't fix anything. You just made it worse.
Yeah.
Mm. You dig what I'm saying? So I understand. Now, I don't try to. Again, you can control only what you can control. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that's a character flaw?
I think it definitely can be. I think it's both.
At what point does it become a character flaw?
When now the person on the receiving end is taking full advantage of it at that point. Like when you expect me to go above and beyond when I don't have to.
No. I'm talking about, is that a character flaw for you? That is not.
That's what I'm saying. That's when it becomes a character flaw for me. It's when it's abused. That's when it's now it starts bothering me. And so then now I like to defend other people.
Lane, he like
then
this.
Now I he want to do
it
because
he want to do it. He want to do it because he wants to do it. I don't want you to want me to do it. I think I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
That is some BS, John. That is terrible.
And you
is
know
it?
What?
It is.
Is it BS? Tell me how
it's not BS. It's who, you know, but that's terrible. Like, if you say you're going to help somebody, and somebody says, okay, you say you're going to help me. Here's what I need help with. Can we do that? Then you're going to be like,
No, that's fine. No. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is let's say every morning your mail comes and you don't ask me to pick it up for you and take it to your front door. I just do it because I happen to be walking by there. And then 2 weeks later down the road, you get pissed off because I didn't put your mail on the front door.
Man, they get like, mad at that.
Oh, that's
but you get what I'm saying? Yeah, like, that's a very small example, but think bigger things in life or like, a bunch of stuff is coming to my head right now. But for example, I was going to go pick somebody up at the airport and I went to go pick them up 15 minutes late because I made sure that the car was clean. I made sure that everything was perfect. I made sure that the apartment was nice and ready for this person to come. I show up 15 minutes late and it turns into a whole ordeal.
Oh wow.
Now mind you, it is LA traffic, so there's that. But on top of that, I'm going above. I didn't have to clean the car. I didn't have to clean the place. I didn't have to do anything. I just did it because I wanted it to be nice when that person arrived. And then I get cussed out because I'm 15 minutes late. That kind of stuff
there's
is
a lot of layers to that.
The crap out of me.
I feel like you can also over insert yourself. I've gotten into trouble doing that. It's like, we ain't asked you to do all that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my bad.
Over-insert yourself, need to stop.
Yeah. Sit down. Yeah. Get somewhere somebody, and sit all here, the way down.
Here's how I do it. Like, here's how I am with that. If somebody just likes to help, I purposefully, I overcompensate for them to not help me because they're used to everybody else taking advantage. They used to it. That's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And I'm a good person. I'm just used to this. But me, I'm like, yo, but you ain't got to do that with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with you. We good. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to, you know what I'm saying? I understand. Life is life. Life stuff happens. It's you know what I mean? We go through things.
Maybe a trauma response too.
A trauma. Ooh, here we go down this road. Yay.
It is.
Yeah, again, we always going down mental health road. Yay.
Well, we like that's a topic no, okay. that we're sensitive to.
No, it's serious. Yeah.
I know. But no, like, is that man pleasing? People pleasing?
People
right?
pleasing.
That's the same thing.
People pleasing. Uh-huh. Because you want to make everybody happy. Yeah. I learned a long time ago. You suffering and you okay with that because that's become the regular you. That's who you are. That's what you're used to.
Man,
please. But I say, nah, I'm cool. I learned a long time ago. You just can't. You're not going to make everybody happy.
Huh? Yeah, I think that's it. Like, how do you get that mentality that I'm not gonna go out of my way to try to please everybody? I just can't. But it's hard when you think this way. So how do I
give you? I can give you my answer. And my answer is, it came to me because sometimes some of us are hard headed and it takes us longer to learn certain things, whatever. It came to me. Because people start feeling like, oh, well, King, you're not consistent with doing records, and you're not finishing records on time. Things like, and I found out what happened. I was saying yes to everything.
Yeah.
Every project that came, everybody that wanted a record. Yeah, I can do it. 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 Now, before you know it, I'm overwhelmed, and I've gotten overwhelmed. Now I'm under the covers, like, oh my God, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So now it's like. Yeah, now it's like, nah, I'm cool. I'm going to pass on it. Yeah, I can get it done. And the thing for me is, when I say I can get it done, let's just go ahead and get it done while it's on my mind. Because I don't want to hold this project out so long because it's another one coming. And I want to be, and being a, how do I say this without sounding haughty? Being a multi cross genre record producer, you know what I'm saying? Because you got some people who just do one genre of music.
Super producer.
All right.
Thank you.
What a definition.
Whatever. Like I said, some people. Like I just rather get the project done because I can't do a Christian record. And then that day I get a call for, tomorrow I get a call for a $12,000 rap record. Because when I'm doing a Christian project, I really try to take it serious. I really try to take it serious now because it's like, this is going to help save somebody's life. Da, da, da. It's a thing. I'm kind of weird with it now, but whatever.
That's really powerful.
No, for real. I really try to do that because at the end of the day, what you do and what you create is going to help some people. Okay. I got to tell you the story.
Okay.
And
story time, y'all.
This story made me think like this now. I'm real particular as to what I do when I'm working on whatever project I'm working on.
Okay.
I was working on. Do I call names? Yes or no? Yeah. It's audio. Shake.
Yeah.
What? All right.
Yeah, why not?
We was working, myself and J Rock Harmon, we was working on the Beyonce Get Me Body remix. And we was at the studio. And then Studio B, the big homie Kurt Franklin, shout out to Kurt, was in Studio B working. But you know me, my drums just going to bang. Listen, I don't care if I take your speakers out the wall.
Yes.
And it was literally shaking the walls because I was in the room, you know, candles, lights down. It was almost dark in the room. Kirk comes in, turns on the light. I'm sorry, man. I just wanted to see who had the studio shaking like this. And when he looked up and saw it was me, he was like, yo, King, what up, baby? You know. But later that night, me and Kirk got into a conversation, and Kirk was, you know, the conversation was, am I responsible for what these people do with these records that I'm doing? And the words were, how do I paraphrase it? Not paraphrase it. The words were, can you know you're responsible? What happens when I said, bro, I'm not responsible. C sharp and whatever genre of music it is, bro. I'm not responsible for you're responsible for what they write on your music. God is not gonna be pleased. Now we can go down a whole nother road right now, but I won't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you could possibly end up going to hell because, and I was like, Kirk, I'm going to hell? And Kirk's exact words. And he said, King, you want what the world want. I said, what's that, man? He said, you want to be rich and famous, in my words, and I quote. I said, well, hell, my nigga, you rich and famous? And that man said to me, God gave me mine. I said, well, how you know that's not God's way of giving me mine? Like, right. You know what I'm saying? But it made me think, now that I've gotten older, it made me think, like, especially when I'm doing a Christian record, it's like, okay, this is supposed to be in honor and reverence, what we was talking about for off camera, of God. This is what this record is going to be about. So I'm going to really take my time. I'm going to sit here and make sure, okay, my energy is good. My spirit is good. My heart is right. I'm in a good place because I don't, you know, if people are going to be, it might be some validity to that statement that he made. That, you know, I'm not solely responsible, but when people hear the music, I want them to feel away. Yeah. You dig what I'm saying?
So, what do you do like to prepare? Because I mean, I hear you talking about, because you said, you know, you really take this serious. I feel like, because I've seen you work, I mean, I've heard your work. I mean, the world has. I feel like you take both serious, whether it be a rap record or a record for a gospel artist. Like, okay, what do you do different to put yourself in a place to consider the listener on a Christian or gospel
album? It's not what I do, it's what I don't do.
Okay.
It's just a different,
that's,
if
that
I know
reference.
That, yeah. If I know that's what I'm working on, like, yeah. Again, I try to set a, you know, schedule or whatever now with myself because I'm practicing discipline, discipline. You know what I'm saying? Get to it, boom, 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 boom. And if I say, tomorrow I'm going to work on this. Mm-hmm. I usually wake up. If I'm working, like tomorrow, like once we hang up, once we're done with this call, once we're done with this show, I'm going back to work.
Yeah.
And it's a Christian project that I'm curating. You know what I'm saying? I'm curating this whole particular Christian project, this sound. And so if I'm getting back into that, that's what I'm going to go listen to. That's what I'm going to get my wrap my head around. That's why I'm going to be like, all right, let's calm down. This is what this is about. This is what the, you know, even though there's no words to it, to me, in my head, I'm vibing. You know what I'm saying? I'm vibing. I'm thinking it's going to be. So I really take time and try to just, not to sound like a weirdo, try to clear the atmosphere. Try to make it sound, you know, just try to make sure my energy is really, really on some up positive, you know. And I'm honestly, but when it comes to like a rap record or a pop record, and you know, most of my stuff is pop records, right, in the past.
Yeah.
It was a party. So, ergo, I curated a party in the studio. So it gave off that energy.
Yeah.
You're very intentional. Remember some of those parties in studios? Oh, damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it was a party.
That.
It was like, yo, okay. Prime example. Watch this. If I'm working with Lane as an artist, the energy has to be very calm, but very creative. You dig what I'm saying? So I'm going to try to do stuff and do things that brings that out. I'm going to try to have stuff in the studio because at one point, I don't know, Montez, you remember this? Do you remember when I used to carry around 2 disco balls with me? Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember that era.
This was in Dallas for sure.
But I did it in LA as well.
Okay.
I did it in LA as well. Yeah, it was a couple of studios. Like they would keep him there for me because I was going through the whole thing. Like I get bored easy. Mm-hmm. You know, was diagnosed with ADD as a kid, so I squirrel you out in the moment. Squirrel, I'm doing something else. Especially if I'm just sitting there going through sounds. But for some reason, the fact that it was energy going on, something was always moving. The disco balls was constantly moving, so it kept me in this whole flow of where I'm at. And so if I'm in the studio with Lane, if I've tried to find out, especially that first night, I find out what gets her into that whole zone. You know what I'm saying? what gets her into a different space of like, okay, let's try different stuff. Let's try a different record. Let's try to work on something. You know what I mean? Let's do something they said you can't do. Or let's do something that, you know? So I keep that creative. And then if people come to the studio, first I'm going to ask, hey, you mind if this person come? I'm going to make sure their energy good, but I'm going to make sure they bringing that creative energy with them. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, when I was in LA, it was every session was a party. I can't even lie. We was turned all the way up, Saints. Like, it was 100% live, like, for real.
But that's
just what kind of record it was. Like, I can't even lie. Okay, true story. Again, story time. One of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends came to Dallas one time. She was a Playboy playmate. I'm not going to say her name. And we had a homie that was a mutual friend of ours. And she was a real life party girl. Like, it was party. It was the big fake boobs and real skinny. And it was that energy. So I curated that energy for her. Mm-hmm. Called other people to the studios. And, you know, it was live. And if you want to ask, I can answer this question. That one of the illest things I ever did with the studio was in that session. Because she was a Playboy playmate, and she liked to have fun. Her daddy, she was popping XOs, and she wanted another girl in the studio. So I called. What you doing? Pull up. And while we end up working on the record, the microphone is on, and you hear whatever happening in there happening. And it was happening. And my stupid self, I was retarded. I didn't care. I said, bro, hit record. Push record right now.
I knew it was coming.
Legit. For real. Push record. And I literally used it in the bridge of the song.
Wow. I was going to say, yeah.
I feel like I might know.
No, you ain't heard this song. Like, a lot of this music never even saw the light of day.
Okay.
Never saw it. Because honestly, I didn't think it was going to happen. Because she came down. I want to work in it. She's a white chick, right? No
it's
disrespect.
For me. I just can't.
Because that's how it was very. It was very
that. Voice so much. I hate it.
And she wanted to rap. And no disrespect to white women that can rap. Salute y'all. Okay. But she couldn't rap, sing, hum, or clap on beat. So it was a go of it. So she asked me how much for a 5-song EP. I threw out some astronomical amount. Okay. Oh, my God. Now I got to go through with it. Yeah, because I threw the number out thinking she's going to be like, nah.
You didn't aim high enough, huh?
I didn't go high enough.
Yeah.
And I ain't going to lie. It was a number.
I bet.
I hit her for 5 figures, for real.
Especially if you're trying to get them to go away.
Yeah. Listen.
Be like, that'll be $5 million. Okay.
Listen, that's crazy. What I should have said. That's what I should have said. I bet she walked away then. I don't know. Who knows? Because she was one of Hugh Hefner's girlfriends. Rest in peace, Hugh Hefner.
She was spending Hugh Hefner on high money.
You know what I'm saying? So, anyway. Anyway.
Well, I think I think it's good. I think that's one reason why I called you a super producer, because you curate experiences based on the type of record you're producing.
Hold on.
That's what I hear you saying.
It's funny you said that.
What?
Because the reason why I say it's funny you said that is because at one point in my life, I was working with a lot of indie artists, but I didn't want to be in the studio with these people. I was like, here go the record, do what you want to do with it. I don't care what you do with it. Because I knew from the rip you wasn't going to do nothing with it in the first place until whatever. This one person says, this one person got mad. Because they couldn't come to the studio, and she says this, and I'm going to coin this phrase.
Uh-oh.
She said, but no, I want to come to the studio. I want to be kinged.
Man.
I said, wait a minute. I said, hold on. Wait a minute. That sounds
like a chess game. What is happening?
Yeah, I was like, hold on. That's not, wait a minute. Being kinged in my mind is something else.
Oh, I cannot scream in this microphone. I can't.
Now look, that's very alpha male. That's very alpha male of you.
I was like, hey, Being king to something else, sweetheart. That is not. But like you said,
what you asked for.
I try to curate experiences, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that's good. That just shows you care.
John, remember? Sounds like it.
John.
Montez, remember we was at the record plant in L.A.? No. Yep. Oh, it was at Chalice. I think it was Chalice. And that, I ain't going to say the A&R name. I ain't going to say what label. The A&R says, and you remember the artist I'm talking about, the artist that was in the vocal booth with a tank top and panties on? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, listen, y'all, it was live. When I tell you my... And this A&R from this very big label says, King, I've never been to a session of yours that wasn't a party. Like, it was real, it was real experiences, man. Hold up, side note. Yeah. Wait a minute. Y'all look skinny, huh? I'm going to tell you why I look skinny, don't I?
You over there working on your fine.
No, John, I got the shot back.
What?
I got the shot back, dude. What are you talking about?
What is this? The who?
Nice.
Yeah. Ozempic.
Man. Is that what Oprah's doing? Because she's like super skinny.
Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. Listen.
How did it make you feel, King?
How many days are you in?
Oh, 1 week.
Okay.
It'll be a week Friday.
How do you feel, though? Like, inside, like, how you feel? You feel
being
like
a diabetic,
you got more energy?
I feel amazing. Being a diabetic, I feel amazing. Yeah. I can feel my blood sugar... It's like leveling out and
Forth
and so on. So that's amazing. And you get kind of mad because we are addicted to sugar.
Oh, God.
Yes. Eat some sugar if you want to on this shot.
Oh.
Watch what happened to you.
Yeah, I think you told us. Be throwing up.
You don't want that. It's coming out of both ends at the same time. Same time. You don't know what to do with your life. It's the most traumatic experience I've ever. Listen, it's the most traumatic experience I've ever had in my life. One of them, anyway. And I promise you, when I say I be picking it, I mean, just a little bit. I'm careful. Look, I've been drinking the same bottle of water for almost an hour. Y'all know I can get. I'm a water drink. It's amazing. I love it. But anyway, that was a squirrel moment.
Feeling full? Is that what it is?
Absolutely. But I was just looking at myself. I was like, man, I'm looking kind of. All right, come on, somebody. But anyway,
I've been really focused. I talked myself out of going to the donut shop this morning. So,
listen, that's my early testimony. Morning donuts, though. Come on, somebody.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's Cronuts, her testimony.
Of all things.
Ooh, hey, that Montez.
I
see what you got on here, man.
What?
About the future of the entertainment industry?
Because you don't want to talk about my donut shop visitation.
No, we don't talk about the donuts. Because I won't want
to.
What you think,
Montez? Because I don't need to talk about it
Montez?
Too much.
So I got to ask you guys this. Like, AI is the big thing right now, right? What effects do you think that's going to have on the industry at large, but specifically on music?
Specifically on music, I think it's going to be for the people who are purists. They're gonna hate it.
They already do.
For the creative people who can use it to their advantage and be like, yo, I'm gonna go ahead and do that while I do this. You know, I myself, I'm not really not too mad at it. I can't even lie. Since the whole AI wave happened, I haven't done a record with a AI generated chord progression. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm still like, hold on. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm sitting here right now with an MPC.
Yes, that is your thing.
I'm still sitting here right now with one. Like, so I'm not, yeah. I like the process of finding samples, chopping samples. Mm-hmm. I nerd out for real and be gone. Now, but when it comes to the mixing part of it, because I'm not as, I don't want to say, I like how I mix. I like mixes, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people like my mixes. But sometimes I'm not as confident in the mixing part of it than I am the production part of it. Hmm. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah. So they have AI EQs now. They have AI compression now.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm not mad at it. Go and fix it right quick. And be like, yeah, I love how that sound. And that way my mind ain't stuck on trying to make this sound a certain way when all I gotta do is let AI do it and I can move on to another creative stage of it. You dig what I'm saying? So as a producer, some producers would go, oh man, I can't. Let me tell you something. A few years back when Output came out with Arcade, the day it dropped, I got it. The very first day it got dropped. And people was like, man, what is that? So I'm doing stuff. And so I'm showing people what's going on with Arcade. But then you had those peers. Those peers is like, man, I can play. I can do this. So?
Right. So? We know.
We know you can play. Good for you. Yeah. Yay, you.
That's great.
How much money can you make off of that? And how fast?
Yep.
No. Yeah. And I'm not.
I think it's a matter of preference too, right?
For me, yes, yes.
It's a matter of preference.
Here's what I do. Like this is where we're gonna have to really get into a session so everybody can see my process. My process really, a lot of times I'll start with a record. I mean, start with a sample, and then there's times I'll just go through. Technology right now is so amazing where you can on this MPC, I can go to chord mode, chord progression mode. And it got chords already there. And so I just put my chords together the way I want them. Then I know the one. I know the number scale or whatever. So I go ahead and play the bass line, put some drums in. And if I don't like how it's feeling, if it's feeling too stiff, I'm going to call a couple of the homies, one or two. I'm either going to call Reggie. Shout out to Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. I call him Reggie Noble because he's a dope dude. His Instagram is Reggie on Keys. And or I call Lil John, John Spiver. You know what I'm saying? Man, we'll get a record done. But as far as AI is concerned, I'm not too mad about it. You know, you got people who are thinking way down the road, talking about, well, AI is going to take over the world. I already have. Let's go. We talked.
Right. We already have.
Listen, we in relationships. Yeah. Look, we in relationships with Siri, Alexa, all of them.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying?
All of them.
And not to mention the self-driving cars that are already on the road.
Yeah. Yo, already. I saw Pizza Hut, Domino's, or somebody going to just let the car bring you your food.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not. I mean, that I'm a little.
The only thing I don't like about that is I'm going to have to go walk down to the car to get it.
Lord have mercy.
Get your fat ass up. Being lazy.
Like, the car is bringing you your pizza. I got to walk down.
I got to go down there and get my food now. If you don't get down there and get that food, they done brought you the food.
We need to build a robot to bring the food to your door.
They probably will. Don't talk too loud. They probably will.
Oh, I know they do. I've seen that in restaurants.
Listen, man.
Yeah. I think when AI first became a hot topic, it was like, oh God. But like King was talking about, you have your purist, right? You still have the opportunity to be a purist, but you also don't want to get left behind because technology ain't consulting any of y'all.
Listen to me.
Technology's moving forward.
Ooh, that is good. Technology is not consulting anybody. They don't need us to say, gone. That's good, that's right. Either you're going to just...
It ain't asking us.
Don't get left behind.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Go.
Yeah. Like, I told somebody the other day. Matter of fact, it was John, man, because me and John, we talk almost every day now. And I said, John Spivey, not John... Anyway.
Yeah.
Listen, that's funny. True, funny story. I had both of them we was at the hotel together. So every time I said John, both of them looked up. It was the funniest thing I ever seen in my life.
Both of them looked up.
Yeah, it was funny.
That's funny.
It was...
John.
Huh? Both of them. But no, you may forget out.
But using AI and still being a purist and going forward and don't get left behind.
Man. I told John the other day, I said, say, man, listen, I'm not mad at AI. I thank God for all the tools that the MPC is giving me now. I thank God for all the programs that I can draw my chords in. Like, it's a lot of things now that there's no reason for nobody, any form of creativity. If you got just a little bit of creativity, you can create a record now, which kind of messes up the flow of the money. I will say that it messes the game. The production game is definitely different. You know what I'm saying? I think we can kind of just segue into your next question though, Montez, like what's the future, you know, of AI and entertainment?
So let me give you guys this. Let me give you guys this statistic. By 2030, AI is expected to make up 50% of the music industry.
Absolutely.
Of the market.
I agree.
Right.
I believe that.
So that's a lot. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's half.
Now, what does that mean, though? Does that mean that computers are just going to be making music, or does that mean that you get to manipulate the computers to make the kind of music you want it to?
Well, I say this.
Somebody still has to get behind it. Well, we can't. So what does that mean?
Right now, it's all speculation. You dig what I'm saying? It's all speculation because we don't know.
Yeah.
All we, but what's going to happen is somebody's going to just create this thing, you know? And then, yes, it'll be like, let's push, oh, Montez need a record. What type? Dog, I saw something the other day. All you have to do is type in the mood that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give you that chord progression for that mood.
Man, that's powerful.
Yeah, it's listen, it's different. I mean, but I don't think everybody, you just got to find a way to, you know, how about I say it this way. These next few years are going to show people if you are able to adapt. What's your adaptability like? Can you adapt to it? Can you say okay, yeah, I don't care nothing about it, cuz I'm not intimidated by it, cuz at the end of the day, they don't, AI still can't do what we do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, don't get it messed up. I do believe they got things that can, because I saw something. It's a, Montez, I'm gonna send you this link to this video. It's a plugin called Vocaloid. Vocaloid. Yeah,
you told
something
us
like
about that.
Did I tell y'all about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
Well, I think you told Darius about it.
Montez, watch this. If I like your voice, right? I can take one of your old songs from the old Back in the Gap. Take your voice, your timbre, your tone. Type in the words. Make it do the vibrato that I wanted to do. And it'll sound just like you. This is a real thing.
Wow.
People think, oh, it's on TikTok. No, it's in my computer right now.
All right.
Like I literally,
he's like, my computer is the TikTok.
I have it right now. If it can, did you a few years back, did you hear how Capitol Records signed that one guy?
Oh yes,
the AI artist. But
uproar. Yeah. Like Harvey Mason Jr. came out and spoke about that because people were concerned about him getting awards, right?
Yeah, because he was ready to, they finna get it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was a creator. It was a person behind that. We all know that. But then the voice, the voice was a whole nother dude.
I know.
That dude, he ain't never seen a dime of that money, of that. He didn't see nothing.
Dang.
Like,
that's crazy.
They did a record, I think it was Drake in the Weeknd. Somebody created one. They did a cease and desist so fast.
Weeknd.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the rate we're going. The movies that we've seen as kids, as younger people, we're about to live in movies. Yes, we're about to live it's going to, I believe this is going to sound weird, and I'm going to shut up after this, that there's going to come a day where it's going to be a man versus machine situation.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, I seen, they got the whole robots now. You can have your personal robots. I seen a robot the other day boxing a dude in the boxing ring. I like, he going to knock him out every time because he's a robot.
Right. Yeah. You can program them to do whatever want it to do.
People's feeling of AI, I mean, listen, man, in a old term, you know, eat the meat, spit out the bone. Whatever you don't like, you know what I'm saying? Make it a buffet, man. I'm going to eat this and that. If it applies to your life, it applies to your life. If you make it so much of your life, then okay, that's different. I mean, if it works
for you. It don't have to change who you are. It doesn't have to change your level of creativity.
Exactly.
You can pivot and use the tools to continue to be the creative person that you are, like you were talking about.
Talk your shit.
I'm looking forward to the day.
Podcast.
I'm looking forward to the day when we have when we can mix The Matrix with Jurassic Park.
Man, shut up.
That's going to be
tripping.
Nice. You know
that's
what?
This nice. Nigga wilding. Come on, bro.
Have you been over there contemplating
here we go.
This whole time?
He always got to say, hold up, though.
You know what happened?
Before we go.
What?
I need.
What?
What's that? What is it? Three words that pop in your head.
Oh, the
give it to
the three words.
Let's go.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, this is
latest first.
This is quick. So No, we always make Lanisha go first.
No, we don't. Y'all make me go first. And then she piggyback off me. Talking about, what he said.
First of all, no. I like the credit that you're giving yourself right now, but I do not piggyback on. No, we're going to not do that. What?
Okay.
All right. Put your glass down.
This is going to go, King, this is going to go to you first, and then we're going to go to Lane.
Thank you.
Because I don't want your three words to be. they need to be your words. All right. So
what you
say, man?
That's two words.
Same word. Okay.
Oh, so my stomach hurts.
Three words.
Okay.
And they're three separate words. They don't have to be together, or they can be one sentence. But however you want to put the three words, it doesn't matter.
Go for it.
I'm getting nervous.
When someone says a word to you, studio etiquette, what are the first three words that come to your mind?
Ooh.
Respect and honor the space. That's it.
Okay.
Come ready. I can't just give you three words on that. I'm going to give you respect and honor the space that you're in, man. Like, you have to respect that, man. Because at the end of the day, if you don't respect it, you come in the studio just on some weird stuff. Nah, cuz you gotta be, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
Respect. It depends on, and honestly, let me say this. It depends on the capacity that you're coming to the studio in. If you're the artist, come with respect, come with confidence, and come prepared.
Mm.
But if you're just a bystander.
What if you're the producer?
If you're the producer, same thing. Respect the artist's time. Mm-hmm. Respect, confidence. Because be confident, like, hey, you know, because sometimes as a producer, we're also salesmen. Because I can sit there and do a record and think it's dope. I would have to sell that record to Lane so she can be like, okay, I get it now. You know what I'm saying? So just respect, be prepared, and confident. That goes all the way around.
The homie. What if you're the homie or the girlfriend coming in to hang out in the studio?
Oh, I got one word. Shut up. Sit down. Two words. Shut up. Sit down.
And no, like, say,
and watch this. And nobody asks you your opinion. Nobody. I think I've said this off camera. They haven't heard this yet. And I'm going to tell the story.
What?
The girl. Remember I tell you about the girl that came to the studio with one of our homies?
And the way you're doing right here is
like
that.
They sitting back there. We soloing sounds. And you know, the sound by itself was a very annoying sound. But in context, it was a great sound for the record. And that girl said, oh, my God, what is that noise? What is that sound? You.
You said.
Get out.
Get out.
And she. her friend goes, no, he's for real. You gonna come with me? No. Her friend's like, no. Because her boyfriend was the artist.
I can picture this whole thing. I wasn't there.
You remember that? Her boyfriend was the artist.
That was at Max Media Studio,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, Law. You was. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
That I did know.
Yes.
And that story.
I was like this, Lane. I was like this. Look, I was like. Just told her to get out, and then I busted out.
You know
laughing.
Why?
I thought it was.
You know why?
Most
because
hilarious.
As an artist, as a producer, that's your space. That's your work. That's your place of business. Mm-hmm. Yo, get out. You don't know how to act in here, so you can't. Yeah. If you can't be, if you, I say this all the time. I use this all the time. I wouldn't be here if I couldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I wouldn't be here if they didn't think I have respect for the space. They didn't think I knew how to act. Basically, like your mama. Go to learn how
go
to
in
act.
Here and act like you know.
Learn how to act.
How to act.
So, it's, you got to have the homie in them. Look, sit down and shut up. And in the words of my mama, only speak when you're being spoken to.
Spoken to.
You know what I'm saying? You got to respect
that. Real talk is. What is the reason why one of my three words is permission? Because I know that story.
Mm.
And it's like, respectfully ask for permission. Because King, you said this one time, like, if you want to invite people to come, ask for permission.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, is it okay for such and such? My other word was vibe, which kind of plays into that too, because you want to curate the right vibe and the energy in your studio, mm-hmm. right? And then the other word that I actually wrote it down was creativity. Come being open, mm-hmm. trying something that you've never tried before,
absolutely.
Trusting the producer to challenge you in whatever way. So those are my three words.
What's yours, Montez?
Saints and friends.
Oh, man.
Yeah, now you think you're going to just ask us the question?
Nope.
Yeah, man. I think it's a lot of the same thing. If you're, if you're the artist, I think one of the things that I didn't do in my younger years as being an artist was like, I came in very, this is how it's going to be. And it was hard to open up my mind. So keep an open mind, mm-hmm. because when you collaborate with other people, mm-hmm. when you start working with other people, they're going to give you ideas that you didn't think about. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so maybe you didn't want the background vocal to sound like this, or maybe you didn't want that lyric to say this, but keep an open mind about it. Because what I did learn also early on was when I would give my music to, let's say the guy who was going to mix it, his rendition, his mix of my song was completely different. And it just kept enhancing it as it kept moving through the hands of the different collaborators.
You know what?
You know what I mean?
I get it. Like, it's a number of things you just said. Like, even as a producer, mixing engineer, producer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When you pass a record off, for me, I'm real, I don't know if I have a control thing. Pray for me. God bless you. But I kind of want this record to feel and sound this way. Don't take, mm-hmm. I want to hear what you have to do, but this is the bed. Don't switch this whole thing up now.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to have to go back and retest this whole mix, because that's not what I want. What else you say?
Stay in your lane.
Exactly. What else you just say?
Yeah. And I totally get that. I totally get that. And I think you should be able to direct it, obviously, how you want it to sound. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes, too, is I would get surprised and really happy with their idea or with the verb that they wanted to use, or like the, those kind of nuances.
Man, not
that
to sound like an asshole.
Record.
I'm not going to be an asshole when I go to the studio. If the mix engineer say, yo, bro, let's try this. Let's see what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm what's for the record. If it sounds good on the record, most people are like, oh, well, dog, you didn't do this. He did that because that was great for the record, and he's going to get his percentage. And we're moving on.
Which goes to super producer title.
There she go. Yet again. Man, let's go home. Let's get out of here.
You keep proving it. Man, listen, we have talked about everything from football to being fine with, working on your body.
My body.
AI. AI taking over the industry, 50%? We have talked about a lot of things. Curating these experiences in your studio sessions and how important it is for, with the people you work with and the people that you invite into your space. So, listen.
You got to be careful you invite into your space, man.
Mm-hmm. Listen, y'all see how passionate he is about that. This goes back to curating this product. I think you referred to it earlier as being a salesman, right? As a producer, you gotta sell this record, this experience. You care on a level that sadly a lot of people don't, or some people, not a lot of people.
Ooh,
but
I know we gotta go, but hold on.
What you got?
Nobody cares about the music no more, man. They just do whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, is this part two?
We're not going to go into part two. I'm just saying.
Stay tuned.
I'm just saying, because people don't care about the music, so they just throw anything together. The mixes are different. And it's just like, you didn't put no time into this. And now we're in a DIY. We've been in a DIY era for a long time where everybody just want to do it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. This is what you, all right, cool. All right, cool. Like, I've been guilty of, like, yo, I got to mix this myself because it's not going to sound like I want it to sound. But once you get, I'm this guy as well. When it get close to time for it to come out, I got two of the best homies of my, two of the best engineers in the world, that's in my Rolodex, two of them, and they my homies. Shout out to Rico Gonzalez. Shout out to Chris Godby.
Oh, I love Rico, man.
And shout out to Chris Godby. I send it to either one of them. Based on depending on type of record it is, what type of mix I want. And you know, if if they're available, I'm like, bro, I got this much money for you, can't go and do this something right fast. And they both know me, so I ain't really gotta, I don't have to stand over somebody's neck and say, hey, Malou. No, that ain't it. That ain't, you know what I'm saying? Nobody cares. Like, your engineers, mix and master engineers have to care about the project, have to know, care about not just the project, care about music, I think. Because if you don't care about music, it's going to sound subpar.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
You're preaching today.
I know we were supposed to get out of here a long time ago. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. we're going to save that, though, because I feel like you said a lot just now. Like, we're talking about relationships, like people who know you and know how you work. We're talking about people that you can call on and you can count on. Mm-hmm. It's not, yeah, you're going to get paid, but you do equally care about the music and the product, right? Which goes back to curating these experiences, which also makes you a super producer at Talkin' Tunes Podcast.
I'll take it.
I really do think that about you. So I always have. Listen, man, this has been a great episode today. And so, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, I mean, you made it all the way to this point. If you haven't clicked subscribe, like, share, and even participated in the comments section, what are you waiting on?
Mash the buttons.
Come on and talk to us.
Push the button.
Mash. Mm-hmm. What's the word? Mash
the button.
Take us out of here?
Listen, man,
You want to benedict us out?
We're going to do a benediction, man. As they say, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. And may he keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace is our prayer. Y'all take it easy. I'm King. That's Lane. That's Money Montez. We got Max in the back. Y'all be easy. Peace. Okay, well, then she lounge. Well, I can write to anything. I don't care what nobody.